Well, good morning again. I got to tell you, it's good to see everybody here. It's, as Gary said, it gets kind of long in the summer between temperatures and not seeing a lot of people. It makes for a long time, but it's good. I'm glad you've been able to make it. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the first book of John. Chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 20. I was going to start on 23, but I kind of bumped it back up to verse 20. And we'll read through to the end of the chapter, verse 29. It's 1 John chapter 2, and beginning with the 20th verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of the things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. And Lord, we pray this morning that through your Spirit, that those words would be proclaimed. And that, Father, that you would give us some enlightenment and that you would give us the strength to continue on in this path that at times can become rocky. But yet we know that you indeed have our true interest at heart, and you will be there to help, to strengthen, and to uplift. Father, we thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. We as a congregation, or even as in the Federation, don't normally put a title on a text. But I think if we were to do so in this one, it might be titled Lies Versus Truth. And this is what the Apostle John, who at this time was known as John the Elder, he's writing a letter to all of those who would hear. And now this letter wasn't written to a specific congregation, but it was written to any and all that would hear it. It was written to any and all that would listen, and any and all that were interested. So this letter made the rounds, I guess, if you will, to the different churches in through the area, which I believe it was through Asia Minor was what they were talking. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But it is a warning that is so prevalent through Scripture. And it is a warning of the Antichrist. It is a warning of those who would try to take away our salvation. It is a warning about those who would maybe want us to believe something different other than what this book teaches. And so he starts out, he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, or an unction is it's a formal term for somebody anointing somebody. And that anointing is referred to in here, even as in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. It refers back to when Christ was anointed by John the Baptist, when he was baptized. We have an anointment from the Holy One. Each and every one of us sitting here this morning has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Even as what is written in the book of Acts, that when Christ says, I will send the Spirit to you. Because we have believed and because we know and understand, that Spirit is within us. Each and every one of us have that Holy Spirit. So these next few verses, verses 20 through 23, he talks about those who would try to cheat us, I guess, if you will. Those who would try to make us believe that there is a better way than what we believe. At times when I read these things, and it's throughout Scripture, Paul was constantly writing about these things, and I begin to look at it, there are times where I'll look at it and say, well, gee, we keep hearing the same thing over and over again. We keep hearing that there's somebody to try to take away our faith, or there's somebody that's trying to make us believe differently, or there's someone that's doing something that they shouldn't. But let me ask you, have you ever been tempted to do something outside of God's word? Have you ever been tempted to believe something outside of God's word? I remember years ago, I was listening to a fella talking, and he was talking about temptations, but in this particular case, he was speaking about scams, which we know are so prevalent today. People always trying to get your money somehow or another just through lying and cheating and so on. And he said that there are some that think that, well, yeah, why would you fall for something like that? You know, it's pretty obvious that that's, you know, crooked. And then he said something after that. He said, and I'm, of course, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, well, you haven't fallen for anything like that, but that's only because you haven't fallen for, you haven't heard something that piques your interest. That can happen here in Scripture too. That can happen to those who are in faith. Sometimes there may be a portion of Scripture where you look at it and say, what does that mean? How, I don't understand. What is it trying to say? And if you talk to somebody about it and they give you some type of an answer that isn't scriptural, yet it kind of makes sense. And from that point on, it can lead down a very, very bad path. It can lead down to a path of destruction. It could lead down to a path of just false belief, unbelief. You have to be so very careful. We have to so very careful and trust in the Holy Spirit. And don't just grab a hold of something because it piques our interest. Don't just grab a hold of something that we look at and say, well, okay, that kind of makes sense. Allow God to work and allow him to do what it is that we need to do. He says, I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. He's telling these people, you know what the truth is. We know what the truth is this morning. We're not talking about these things here because we don't know about them. We're talking about them because we know it. We're talking about them because we recognize the untruth. And the way things are going, even in this country today, it seems as though it's just that these end times are getting closer and closer. But boy, the Antichrist is awful prevalent. So very, very prevalent. Scripture talks about people believing, or I guess believing things that just aren't true, that don't make any kind of sense, and yet they still believe them. And that's what's happening today. So whosoever denies the Son, the same does not have the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Well, what is it to acknowledge the Son? To acknowledge that your salvation is through Christ Jesus and what he did for you. Then he goes on, he says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Well, what is it that you heard from the beginning? What is it that you should let abide in you, as the Scripture says? What is it that we should live with and cling to and use as instruction. But what abides in us is the fact that Christ died for our sin. And what continues to abide in us is that he arose again from the dead. And he is our salvation. We are justified because of his death and his resurrection. So, continue to believe, continue to look, continue to understand. Because the more you study, or the more I study, the more we follow God's word, the more we look into it and ask for revelation on something that we may not understand or may not be fully clear to us, the more we do that, the less chance of being taken away or being led away. And that's a dangerous road. That's a dangerous path to go down. Stay away from those type of people and don't get involved. And he says, and this is the promise that he has made, or that he has promised us, even eternal life. Jesus talks about this in the 17th chapter of John in his prayer. It's chapter 17, verse 3. And this is what he's praying to God. Because he starts out with his prayer to the Heavenly Father, and then he switches later on and prays for all of those who are his servants. But in verse 3 he said, and this is life eternal, that they might know you, or they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal life. This is what eternal life is based on. It is based on the fact that we believe. And because of that belief, Jesus Christ sits on God's right hand. And God looks at us. I know I've told this before, but I think it's such a vivid picture for us. And John Ritzel is the one that I first heard it from, and I've taken it and kind of built around it a little bit. If John hears this, I'm sorry, John, but I think you'll appreciate it. As most of you know, I'm from the Northeast, and it seems like back when I was a kid, there was a lot more snow back there than there is now, although last winter was pretty rough. But anyway, being in the construction field, and those of you who have been in construction most of your lives in various forms and so on, you recognize how nasty that area can get. All the junk that's laying around, the boards and the 2x4s and the concrete and the blocks, and then you get rain and then you get mud that you're sloshing through, and you end up being 2 inches taller in the evening than you were in the morning because of all the mud on your feet. It's just not a very good atmosphere to be in. But then that night, you get a significant snowfall. I mean, just a real, real heavy snowfall. Starts out in the afternoon, and it just stays all night long. And by morning, everything is covered in white. Everything is just totally blanketed. I remember one job I pulled in on one time, and I was the first one there, and I looked and I said, I don't even want to drive across that. It's so beautiful. But yet you have to. You know, it's part of the responsibility. But the point is that this is how Christ views us. All of the mud, all the dirt, all the broken up pieces of wood and cement blocks and all the garbage that's laying around on that job site is covered. All of the sin that we have ever committed up until that point is covered. And it's covered in a pure white blanket. And that's how God views us. That's how we are viewed even this morning. Because we believe. We believe and we trust on what Christ has done for us. And that is what we will someday be able to rejoice in eternity. He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. And again, now he's touching on those who are trying to take away their faith or try to make them believe something different. And we see that happening in this day and age. We see that happening in all of these, what you might call mega churches. Some of the things that I've heard proclaimed out of those churches are, I got to really wonder. You really have to wonder is what is their message or what is their end point, if you will. But then he goes on, he says, but the anointing which you have received, anointing, the same thing as in verse 20, but the anointing or the Holy Spirit which you have received of him abides in you. This is what John is telling those who would hear it. And you don't need that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Because of what Christ has done for us, and because that Holy Spirit is living within each and every one of us, we abide with Christ. We abide with God. And then he goes on in the end part of the chapter, and he says, and now, little children, abide in him, abide in Christ, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. When he shall appear. I remember in my grandparents' house, we'd go there for sauna just every Saturday night. And for those of you who haven't been sauna, well, it's something that is pretty much it's where the family goes. But anyway, I remember there was a picture. It was actually two different pictures. One was of Christ kneeling before a rock, and it was just a big boulder there, and he was kneeling at the foot of it with his hands folded, looking up into heaven, praying unto his Father. But then the other picture I saw was a picture of Christ coming in the eastern skies. And it was a picture of mass confusion. People running and hiding behind bushes, hiding behind rocks. People just scattering everywhere. But there was one portion of that picture off to one side or off over a little off center. It was a family. And it was a family standing there, husband and wife and the children, however many there were, I don't remember, but standing there looking up into heaven, looking up into those eastern skies, and waiting for their Savior to come. And that's what I picture. That when this end is over, when God just says, okay, that's enough, shut the doors. That's what I picture. To be able to look into those skies and to be able to see my Savior coming. And be able to sing and rejoice in his presence along with all the other believers. And to be able to know and to understand that because of what he did for me, that I can be there. I would not be ashamed before him at his coming. Because he is my salvation. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. If you know that Christ is righteous, if you know that he is your salvation, then you understand that all of those who believe that and understand it are born of Christ. And that's where we are this morning. That's where we are now. We know and understand what Christ has done. So we know and understand that we are born of him. And what he has done for us will be the benefit or will be the reason why we'll one day be able to look and sing praises unto God. I'd like to close with the first or the last couple verses, or actually first couple verses of chapter 3. And it's a message that John is writing to all those who believe. And I will paraphrase it a little bit. But he says, "Behold how much love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it's not yet clear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Think about that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be like Christ, perfect in every way, because we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as our salvation. Not the one that took our place on the cross, not the one that had the nails driven through his hand, not the one that had the crown of thorn placed upon his head, not the one that was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father that if this cup can be taken from me, but yet not my will, but thy will. We shall see him as he is, our salvation. That wonderful, perfect salvation that God has prepared for each and every one who believes. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for your word. And oh God, as we leave from here, Father, we pray that we would continually look to you. Father, we pray that we would always, even as this week progresses, that we would continue to look and to understand, and that we would cry out in times of need, and that you would give to us that which is needful at that moment. So, Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.